Hello and welcome to Redefine, your home for news about parental school choice and education reform.
All right. Hi, everybody. Today, we're going to do a different kind of podcast than we have in the past. Instead of a policymaker or a school choice leader, today I'll be talking to a parent who believes in school choice because it has benefited his son. Mike Enters is a former missionary who is currently in between jobs. He is the father of Jack Enters, who is a sixth grader at Lake Monroe Christian Academy in Sanford, Florida, and he secured a tax credit scholarship for his son because he thought a small private school would be a better fit for Jack than a public school. So, Mike, thank you so very, very much for speaking with me today.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
All right. Well, the first thing I was hoping you could do is just tell our listeners a little bit about your son. You told me earlier that Jack had severe health problems when he was growing up. So can you tell our listeners just a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. When Jack was born, he was not born prematurely. There was nothing unusual about the pregnancy or anything like that. He was born on his due date, but after 5 months of taking him to the pediatrician and the pediatrician charting his weight and all that, we weren't aware that there was anything wrong for the first 5 months of his little life. In fact, we thought this is just going along just fine. Until that one day when we brought him in and the doctor, after charting his weight and charting his progress, he looked up from his clipboard and he said, my wife and I, that Jack is losing weight. And he went on to say that if we didn't find out why, then Jack was going to die. And it just hit us like a ton of bricks, of course.
Wow.
And from that point on, it was for the next year, 2 years, just finding out why. It took us a while to get into the hospital and into all the testing and all that. We were living out in California at the time and went to LA Children's Hospital. And once we got into it, though, once we got into what they had to offer at the hospital, we were given the best care that we could ever hope for. But they never were able to diagnose exactly what Jack had. They labeled it just all-encompassing failure to thrive. And we just did what we could to make him thrive. But he's a fighter, and he had that in him to keep going. And from the very outset, he had a rough time with things, I would say.
Okay.
But that was his start.
Well, so that was his start, and he's 13 years old now?
Yes, he
okay.
turned 13 in February.
And how is his health now? Is he doing okay physically now?
Yeah, physically he's doing okay. He's had a lot of things that he's had to overcome through physical therapy, occupational therapy. When we moved here to Florida, he had to be taught how to eat. He had been on a feeding tube in his belly for several years. He didn't know how to eat. He had neurological things going on. And because of that, he had failure to thrive. He had a start in life where he was behind, and he's doing fine now. He's overcome a lot of those issues, but there's still things, fine motor skills. He has a real difficult time with things like tying his shoes, riding a bike. We're going to learn how to ride a bike. I'm going to teach him this summer. He's determined that he's going to learn how to ride a bike, but it's all with the balance issues. There's things still that he needs to, that challenge him. And so he's still got things to overcome, but he's determined to do it. He's just a good kid overall.
Okay.
And
well, those things alone sound like very tremendous hurdles for him and for you. And now, on top of that, you you were telling me that he still struggles a bit with social skills, and he struggles a bit to fit in. And one of the terms that sticks in my head from when we were talking before is that you described him as a as not a one size fits all kid. And, you know, I know this is a very sensitive thing, but for our listeners, can you talk about that just a little bit, his struggles with social skills?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. He is not a one-size-fits-all kind of kid. He doesn't fit into traditional programs and things like that. And at first, you don't really realize that there's anything going on that's different with Jack. But when you've been with him for a little while, it's just, there's something about him that you just can't quite put your finger on, but he's unique. And he's socially aware enough that he knows he's unique. And he has a tendency to not respect people's personal spaces. He needs to be taught all those kinds of things. You know, we just kind of socially pick up on cues, you know, the general population does. Jack misses out on those cues quite a bit. He needs to be told, okay, you can't come face on and give somebody a super big bear hug. He loves to give people hugs. So he's had to learn, and at the school that he's at, they've even taught him, they've taken the time to teach him, come up alongside people and give them a side hug. So he does that generally. He forgets sometimes, but his social cues that the rest of us pick up on, he misses those.
Okay.
And so it kind of sets him apart that way.
Well, so how does that...
That he has to be taught.
Mm-hmm. Well, so how does all that fit in with your decision to get a tax credit scholarship for him and to put him in a private school?
Well, the decision to put him in a private school was made before we even knew that the scholarships were available. It wasn't until he was going to school that we realized that we were told that they were and he would qualify. All we had to do is, you know, fill out the forms and all that. And the reason why we chose a smaller school is because we knew that more of a one-on-one that he would get. He started in kindergarten, and he'd be able to get the attention, the love, the unique one-on-one that comes with a smaller school. So that was our decision to put him in Lake Monroe Christian Academy, because he had been in a kindergarten in a charter school, and he did well there. I mean, it's kindergarten, so he did okay. But we put him into the smaller school and did kindergarten all over again for him, so he did 2 years of kindergarten, and he really could have benefited from doing 3 years of kindergarten, but, you know, you can only hold him back so long. Mm-hmm. But we knew that he would eventually, he'd catch up. Academically, he has caught up. He excels in many areas, even to the point where he's in sixth grade, but, like, geography, he's beyond high school. He's in college level.
So academically, he not only caught up, he's thriving in the private school.
Oh, absolutely. Those areas that he's especially interested in, he focuses and he studies and he is just, he is Mr. Geometry, I mean, or geography, rather.
You told me he was a big fan of Google Earth, right?
Oh, my goodness, yes. I would take him to work on, say, he's had a day off or something, and I did have a job where it was flexible enough that I could take him to work, and he'd be on a computer. While I was doing my work, he would be on Google Earth and Wikipedia and all that for the whole 8 hours that I was there. I mean, and without a break, he just absorbs like a sponge all this stuff, all this information, and he retains it. And therefore, he does well at it because he's interested in it. Computer games and things like that, he'll do them, but he's not really You know, he's not a big fan of them. What he likes are simulators. He's found a website from the Colorado University in Boulder. I guess it's their physics department has a website, and they have all kinds of simulations and different things for how planets interact with each other. He'll be on there for hours and hours and hours. And
well, that must be awesome, awesome for you as a dad to see your son get that intrigued by heavy academic stuff.
Oh, I get a kick out of it. I know he's going to go places. Right now we're talking about him missing out on the social skills and things like that. You know, I just know he's going to eventually, whether it's in high school or beyond, he will find a group that is interested in the same things that he's interested in, and he will finally, you know, finally meet people that understand him. He just hasn't found that yet, and it gets frustrating for him. He's not into sports because he just can't do it. You know, there's kindergartners that run faster than him and in the school, and he's just, you know, he's not interested in it because it's not something he can do well at.
Okay.
Kicking a ball or swinging a bat or anything like that. Riding a bike. I mean, like I said, we're gonna tackle that one this summer, but. He's approaching it apprehensively, but it was his idea to do it, so I guess we're going to be ready for it.
Well, Mike, can you tell me a little bit more about why you think a public school would not have been a good fit for him?
Yeah, I think the reason is public schools are more geared towards. Well, their curriculum, their program is like we said before, one size fits all. It's for the largest group. They cater to the largest group of people that they can. That's just, you know, the way it's set up. The kids who are on the peripherals, who are not in that mainstream, who don't fit into that program, they kind of get. They get left behind, or they get shunted off to the side and almost forgotten. And whether that's true or not, that's what I've got in my mind. And I just did not. I mean, I've got one crack at you know, doing well with Jack, and I didn't want to take a chance to see if that would work, whether he would be accepted in a public school or not. I don't mean by the teachers, I mean, or the staff. I mean by the kids.
So that was another concern, the possibility of maybe him being teased a little bit because he is a little different.
Yes, yeah. Jack is a little different. And kids hone in on that. And he would been, and he's very sensitive. One of the reasons that, you know, we went with a smaller school is because we knew that they love Jack. He responds to that. He doesn't respond to negative kind of discipline and that sort of thing. And I got to be careful when I'm doing that I don't come down too harshly, because, I mean, there is, you know, I do have to raise him and that, and there are times when I have to reprimand him, but I just got to be very careful that I don't cross that line, because it just breaks his spirit and he'll shut down. If I didn't want to take the chance in a situation where he's gone for so many hours a day under somebody else's watch and care, if they didn't understand that, it would just start a big cycle of him shutting down, him reacting, him going to the principal's office. I mean, I've had to deal with that in the smaller school situation anyways. I just figured, no, I didn't want to take the chance of that happening on a larger setting at a public school.
Now, having said that, though, are you against public schools? And I hope that doesn't sound like a silly question, but
No,
you know,
not.
What, there are definitely people who worry that, you know, if you support vouchers and you support tax credit scholarships and support those kind of options, that you're undermining public schools. So, I mean, what's your take on that? I mean, do you have a problem with public schools? Are you trying to undermine public schools, or is that just not part of the picture for you?
I've never thought of myself personally undermining public schools, but I can see where that question would come up on a larger, you know, bigger picture kind of thing. No, I'm just a dad looking to do the best for his son, and bigger picture, no, I don't. I see where public schools have their place, definitely. It's just that the description that I gave before for the way Jack is, for the way he's wired, he would be one of those kids that would be, you know, left behind or kind of shunted to the side, or at best, at worst, he'd be teased. He would be, you know, just his spirit broken. I couldn't picture myself putting him through that. I felt like I needed to have him in a learning environment where I had more oversight myself and more input into, you know, explaining who Jack is and being able to do one-on-ones with the teacher. His third and fourth grade teacher was phenomenal for that. There was many times after school, just from the care in her heart that she had for Jack and the love that she had for him, we'd have impromptu 45-minute after-school talks where she was just updating me on how things went that day and where she thought Jack was at and how she thought, you know, he could be better in school and that sort of thing. And those were the times when I was just very, very thankful that I had Jack where he was, because I knew he was getting the care beyond just the academics. You know, he was in a place where he was getting that.
It sounds like you're very happy with where he's at.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Yep. It's been perfect from kindergarten through sixth grade, it's been perfect for him. It's been tailor-made, and I couldn't have asked for anything better.
Okay. Well, Mike,
next year,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. I was just going to say thanks a lot. I mean, you know, I appreciate you telling us about all this. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, next year his school is losing their primary 7th and 8th grade teachers, so we've had to search around and you know, make a determination where he's going to spend 7th and 8th grade, and we fortunately found another school that's very similar to the one that he's in now, and it's about the same distance away from my house. It's very close, and he will continue on. It's a little bit larger school, but that's okay. I think what he's doing is making a transition, because it looks like, anyways, the plan now is when he goes into high school that he'll go into one of the public high schools. That may change, I don't know, but right now, 2 years out, 3 years out, that's kind of where I'm looking for him to be at.
Okay, you feel like the foundation that he's getting through the schools that you chose for him, it sounds like are going to allow him to do well at the next level.
Yeah, this scholarship program, my finances in the last few years, especially last 3 or 4 years, have been rather touch and go, and I would not have been able to come up with the money to put him in these schools or in the school that he's in now, and I just think about it, and think, man, if it wasn't for the scholarship program, I would have had to kind of send him out like a sheep into the wolves, you know, and see what would happen.
Well, Mike, I'm...
And if it didn't work, I would have had to do other options. I don't know, virtual school or homeschool or something. What I would have done.
I'm glad you didn't have to do that. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that there's these options for you, and I'm glad Jack's able to get what he needs and find a school where he can do well, and I'm glad you can find a place where you're comfortable that he's getting what he needs. Well, thanks a lot for taking all this time today to talk to us.
You're welcome.
This is something different than we normally do, but I really appreciate you telling our listeners what it's like to be a dad and to have a kid benefiting from a choice option.
Yeah, I hope it gives people a different perspective and a better understanding of what the program can achieve for them.
All right. Well, take care. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye.